Let's just take our seats for a moment and close our eyes where we are. Jesus, we bless you. Spirit of God, you are here this morning, Lord. And while nobody is looking around, there are some people here this morning. I just sense that you have to start over in an area of your life, but you feel so discouraged. You just don't have the strength for that. While nobody's looking around, you're just wrestling with this. Say, God, I don't know if I have the strength for that. Nobody's looking around just to give me indication that's me. I know God is. Thank you, Jesus. There's more. Thank you. There's more people. Nobody looking around. Just thank you. You don't know if you've got the strength for that. And Jesus says, I'm with you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to keep your hands raised just where you are. We're just going to pray for you where you are right now. If you raised your hand, keep it raised just where you are. I want us to open our eyes. And then we're going to lay hands upon those people. Just keep your hands raised there with me. So I need Jesus. I need to start over. I need to start over in a certain area. And I just don't have the strength for that. But I ask you to pray with me. So what we want to do this morning, just lay your hands on the person. If there's somebody around you, brother, sister, that's just nearby, just lay your hands upon that person and just pray for God's grace upon that person right now. Just wait. Maybe they just feel encouraged. They just need a word of encouragement this morning. God says, I'm with you. I'm about to help you. I'm about to build new things. I'm about to lay a new foundation. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. God says all things work together for good. Thank you, Lord. Even the bad that happens to us, Lord. Even the rubbish that the enemy dump on us, Lord. I thank you, Lord. It's not wasted. I thank you, Jesus. You do a new thing this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Miracles, Lord. Father, we thank you for a fresh start. We thank you, Lord, that you affirm, Lord, this morning. Jesus, we bless your name. Jesus, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. There's an impartation that's taking place for the laying of hands this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord. It's not defined in human terms, but your word says, Lord, that it's your power this morning that comes upon us, Lord. It's your grace that comes upon us that enable us this morning to run faithfully. Father, I pray for everyone this morning, Lord, that feels that we cannot, that they cannot anymore, Lord. I thank you for renewed grace this morning, grace that empowers us, grace to say, I will keep on, like Paul said, I will run this race with endurance, with perseverance. So, Father, I thank you for perseverance to be imparted to each and every one this morning, Lord. Jesus, we bless you. Yeah, Lord, we're not running a sprint. We're running this marathon, Lord. And life has got obstacles, but we thank you, Lord, you are beside us, Lord. You're helping us, Lord. You give us family, Lord, and the blessing of spiritual family this morning, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you. We do not have to run this race on our own, Lord, but we can lock hands and we can take hands with those next to us and say, pray with me. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't leave us as orphans. This morning, Lord, we know that your Spirit is present, that your Spirit comes to reside inside of us. We thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are so eager to commune with us, to communicate with us this morning. Holy Spirit, you are more than enough this morning. I thank you, Lord, for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit this morning, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for a new song this morning. Jesus, we bless your name. I thank you, Lord, for a spirit of adoption, Lord, a spirit, no more orphan spirit, no more such a spirit you will live by. God says you are a son. Lift up your head. God removes that shame in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you lift him up to worship you for who you are, Lord, not to carry that anymore, Lord, that shame. Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. You strengthen his legs, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You strengthen his legs, Lord. Spiritually speaking, Lord, he's becoming a giant, Lord, as he receives your word. I thank you, Lord, an impartation to take place. And Lord, as we bring ourselves to you, Lord, we just pray, Lord, have your way with us this morning, Lord. Not our way. God, we just lay down our thought patterns, our ideas, our concepts, Lord, our opinions. We want to submit to your word this morning, Lord. Not to the word of man. And Father, I pray that you will just lead me through your spirit, Lord. That no word that will come out of my mouth, Lord, will be something that's birthed inside of me, but Lord, just your word, Lord. And Father, I pray that you will help us, Lord, just to conform to your word, to your image, Lord, this morning. Not to man, not to this church, but to Christ this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Mark. Maria, I'm going to call you to the front. You'd like to share something that God has placed in your heart. I'm going to ask Moses as well, if you want to join her, just to stand next to her. Moses.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Maria. Since I came here to this church, I meet you, Pastor Diego. But what really teach me something, the first thing he do in his life is just pray with us. That is very wonderful, and I'm happy for this. And I want to also to share with you something. There is one man, it's a rich man. God was blessing him, and always he's reading the Bibles. One day he was dreaming that you always give people something, but you need to do something to give people by spiritual, to share the word of God. If it's not so, then those people will just give their need, but they need God. That's why I'm very, very happy to be in this Tofa church. They are so very good and kind. Thank you for that, God.
Just stay here. Just stay here. These two people joined us this week. Now, I didn't tell you to. You know what? When you sat down with me, and I see this so often that people come here with need, and I'm going to put out my head out there this morning. I know I'm sharing my heart here. As they sat there, I didn't tell them. God told me, you're going to go back. They come from Rundu, by the way. They're 3 months here now. They came here, and the Lord told me, one day you'll be back there. You're going to preach the word of God, hey? God has got to... So God's got a purpose with you guys here, okay? So while we sat there, I just seen this, what God is saying. Equip yourselves, train yourselves in the word. And we'll talk about that later. But we just trust the Lord just to do what he needs to do while you are guys here with us. And maybe one day we see you there doing some great things for God, for Shofar, where God is planting you. So Father, we just want to lay hands upon Moses and Maria. And Father, we receive them in Christ. We receive them as gifts from you. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you just continue with the work you've started. Father, we know we are at the beginning, but Lord, we call upon you, Lord, to do a mighty work in their lives, Lord. A work of sanctification, a work of transformation, Lord. A training, Lord. Lord, as Timothy was trained by Paul, I pray, Lord, that you will just train up these warriors for you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they will be mighty, a mighty man of God. We just prophesy that over. Father, I pray, Lord, that your word will become alive inside of them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will remove the old and you make something new this morning. I thank you, Lord, that no man will break down this what you are establishing this morning. And Lord, we speak it over them, Lord, to become giants in the spirit. Father, I pray that one day they will go back there, Lord, and we trust, Lord, that they will do great things for you, that your kingdom will come through them, Lord. I pray, Lord, for their children. I pray for them as a family, Lord. I pray for your provision. I pray, Lord, in every aspect, Lord, let your hand be upon their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. I didn't ask. Best, by the way, I didn't ask Maria to come and share something. She just came forward and she wanted to share. But that's just God's goodness, and I want to thank everybody that helped him. And nevertheless, God is the God that can rewrite your history and give you a new story to tell, no matter what your story is. On all of you that's been there, and God is still busy writing your story, he's that God. Doesn't matter what your past is, he's writing a new story. And sometimes we feel we waste our time, and we've wasted that, and God, what if I just did that earlier? But God says, it's not too late. If you're sitting here this morning, it's not too late. It means I'm still alive, and God, you're busy rewriting my story for your name's sake, so that your name be glorified. Amen. Amen. Right, I want to continue on my previous sermon, part two. I spoke on about the broken mirror, those of you who are here, and I'm just going to recap some to some of us who haven't been here, maybe, just to help us where we were. And we spoke about 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, which is also going to be our scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says this, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Some, I think, a new King James translation says that as we behold him, as we're in, like in a mirror, we are being transformed into his image. Okay, so we don't want to be transformed in the image of Christ. In the image of ourselves or church, but in the image of Christ. Okay, so whenever we look into that mirror and we see ourselves, we need to see Jesus as well. We say, "Lord, sure, I fall short in many areas. But God, thank you for grace. I tell you what, if it wasn't for grace, we'll all miss it. Not grace to sin, not grace to carry on with the old lifestyle, grace to change." Because we realize that in our own strength, we cannot actually do that. And so often, you know, I realize in our own congregation, in my own life, if it wasn't for grace, man, sure, it's just, I'll be lost. But grace enables me to meet that standard. And we shared about that thing about when we read here in 2 Corinthians 3, that what does it mean to be conformed to the image of Christ? That's a loaded term. That's easy to say, well, we want to be conformed to the image of Christ. So we started, and we're going to eventually talk about 6 areas. We spoke about the first 3 when we said, first of all, God wants to transform our mind, not to think like we used to think anymore. Romans 12:2 says that we should be renewed through the renewing of our mind. So it all starts here, to refresh that, to start thinking differently. Don't think like the world think. There's a clash of kingdoms here. God says you have to reprogram yourself. It's like a computer. You need to get a new download. Start downloading. Read this and download and read and download and meditate. And it's a process that's taking place. A transformation process. And then we shared about our character that needs to be changed. Jesus went into the desert, and I found that while he was in the desert, God established certain things. And while he was there alone, certain things were established there. So often in life, in desert, in the dry times, God is busy building our character to sustain us for the times when he wants to use us. You see, we don't want to be a fly by night. Just receive and go, and whenever the pressure comes, we're not able to stand. But God needs to build your character to sustain you or the calling that's upon your life. So often the desert and the pain and the process that you're going through is an indication of what God wants you to do upon the call, or what calling is placed upon your life. So if you embrace that, even the bad things, God can turn that around and use that for his name's sake. Again, it's not necessarily that God orchestrates those things to come your way, but he's the God that's got the last say. I say, well, even Satan, I knew you threw that at my son or that daughter of mine. I'll change that around. I can use that. Maybe you were involved with a lot of wrong stuff. God says, no, I'm going to turn that around. I'm going to redeem you. But when I set you free, I'm going to use that where you've been to help others to get out of that as well. And so we can carry on. The last time we spoke about was transformed relationships. God wants to transform our relationships. And we shared about family that we can't choose. Eh? Did you choose the family you were born into? No. They were a gift to you. Okay? I know some of us sitting here this morning, because you didn't experience the love of God in your family, you have a massive problem with your parents. Some of us don't even know that. But that is a violation of the spiritual law. Even in your heart, even if there's pain this morning, we need to give that to God. If we're going to have a grudge against our parents, even though we feel we didn't get that love, we're violating spiritual laws. Okay, so we have to give that unforgiveness to God as well. Say, God, that was painful to me, but God, I pray for that father of mine that I didn't even know or that I knew that disappointed me, but God, I just put him in your hands. And that's why God said, if he says, pray for your enemy, how much more should we pray for our own family? Sometimes we let us down. So anyway, so God wants to transform that as well. And he wants to transform us here this morning, our relationships with one another. Different age groups, culture groups. Out of one nation, the Bible says in Acts, out of one blood he's made all nations over the earth. And you can't choose, let me put it this way as well. You can't, or you're not supposed to choose your spiritual family. I'm going to say that again. You can't choose. Well, you can. You can choose your spiritual family, but you won't be led by God then. God says that he chooses where you and me are supposed to be. 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to get closer to it. Maybe it doesn't make sense to some. If you confess this morning that you are being led by the Spirit, then it means that God will choose for you where you need to be spiritually. Okay? Although it doesn't always happen like that. We see people choose for themselves. I don't like this people. I don't like the church anymore. I'll go and find a place where it suits me. That's why God knows exactly what you and me need for us to grow. If I take that palm tree and I plant it at the wrong place, in the wrong ground, with the wrong nutrients and stuff and all of that, chances are good that the tree would die. All of us are just trees and plants that are being planted. God knows exactly where to plant you, so which people to rub you up the wrong way, so that something will come out so that he can help you to grow. But if you choose to uproot yourself and plant yourself where you think the ground is favorable, you won't necessarily grow the way. God knows exactly which people you and I need around us daily to help us in this process. That's how he placed the body, how perfectly he put it together. And sometimes that annoying brother and sister is just God's hand upon your life. Just to show you, man, control yourself. Keep your tongue in, or whatever it might be. Just, it's amazing how God used imperfect people, leaders, whatever, to expose something in our hearts. In all of us, we have people imperfect. All of us are imperfect. But sometimes that imperfectness of the other person is bringing up something here, and it's rising up, and all I want to do is just leave. Don't leave. Don't leave. God is just busy with you. Thank God he's busy with you. Thank you, you're on his wheel. Anyway, let's go. We just move on. So this morning, we're going to continue about being transformed into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the scripture in Luke 2, verse 52, if you want to read that, but I'll do that this morning for you. You can just make a note if you would like to. It says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Now, I don't believe the scripture just talks about Jesus' physical growth there. Okay, I honestly believe that it's talking about Jesus' spiritual authority and how Jesus grew spiritually to that place that he was in favor just with God as well, what the Bible says. How did he get to that place? That he grew to a place of maturity. When you read that story in Luke 2, and you go back to verse 43, the whole story is about Jesus' parents going back to Jerusalem, and they are spending time there, and then it's interesting, the scripture says, supposedly, there's a message in that as well, they supposed that he was in their presence. Now think about that. Jesus' mother thought he was in their presence, and they went three days. Okay. They left, and then realized after two or three days. Now you have to help me here. Or have grace with me. My numbers is mixing up here. That he's not in their presence. Sorry. Now if Jesus' mother could lose him so easily, supposing that he's with him, how much or how easier we can lose him. That's a message. I just put it out there. Thinking that God is still with you. I'm not praying to sow fear this morning. I'm just saying, are you walking with him? They were supposed to walk with him. Anyway, it took them longer to find Jesus than to lose Jesus. So they went back and they found him in Jerusalem. And then verse 43 says, Jesus lingered in Jerusalem. That word linger. Afrikaans, we talk about talam. Wait a little, stay a little bit longer there. See, Jesus discovered that if he lingers at this specific place, there's a key. If I linger at the temple, if I just linger in the presence of these people, I will just learn from them. I'll pick up from them. I'll have a discussion with them. I'll start grow. Now I'm asking you this morning, where are you lingering? See, wherever you linger, that affects you. Some of us, we just linger on an hour and a half on a Sunday and we think that's good enough in the presence of other believers. But there's a law, underlying law here. Wherever you linger, if you linger at the wrong friends, guess what? If you're not strong enough, you will be transformed. But Jesus knew that if he lingers at the temple, if he lingers at that presence, that's why when they looked at Joshua, Joshua was always around the ark. He was near, close by. That's why he followed up. I believe that's why he was following up on Moses. He was there's a love for the presence of God. David puts it this way, in Psalm 27, verse 4. It's one of my favorite scriptures. He says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, that I've desired, that I will seek all the days of my life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord to behold his beauty all the days of my life. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? God, I just desire to be in your presence. God, I just desire to be amongst your children. Sorry. I want to be in your presence because I know as long as I linger around them, as long as I linger in your presence, there's a transformation that's busy taking place. And so also the opposite. Now, I'm not saying this morning, write off all your friends that do not know Jesus and don't visit them and don't connect with them. I'm not saying that at all. But where are you lingering the most? Some of us, we come to Jesus. We say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior, but not necessarily Lord. There's a difference here. And then we linger at the old places still. God, I love that. There's an attachment there. And God says, don't linger there anymore. You got to move away from that. But us being attached to that, making us, we become like that. You see, Jesus knew that in order for him to do what he was called to do, he needed to establish certain habits or certain principles. See, habits that are created in our lives eventually become a lifestyle. And if we follow that lifestyle, we'll eventually end up in our destiny. So the Bible says that Jesus spent all night in prayer before he called his disciples. He knew what a massive task it is that he would lay upon those people. And he knew he didn't have enough strength. He had to pray to his father and say, Father, show me these people. When I'm going to walk past here, I want to know these are the men that you've called. Jesus understood this thing about places and spaces. What am I saying to you this morning? Jesus knew certain times, even though I'm with people, even though I love people, even though I came to see to bring the message, to be that offering, sometimes I have to withdraw myself to that specific place where it's just me and the Father, me alone. You got to have a place where you worship. You got to have a place this morning where you just withdraw yourself and say, God, it's just me and you now. I had such a great time with him, but God, right now, it's my space. My space, your space. You got to have the time. Jesus was praying, and I'm saying you should do it like, maybe forget what I just said. Follow Jesus' example. But Jesus was praying early in the morning. Jesus was spending that time. He knew that part of the day, if I dedicate this best part of my day, it will set the tone for the day.
Anyway, but he understood this whole thing about prayer and corporate prayer. And when we ask ourselves, is that a pattern that's established in our lives? Jesus understood many more principles and patterns that were established in his life. He understood worship. Now, if you're in your car, I just want to put it out there, and nobody's with you. Do you just drive and you just get from A to B? Or are you redeeming the time there? The Bible says redeem the time. Some of us, we don't have a car. Maybe you have a bicycle. You can use that then. Or if you walk, that's also fine. It's just you. Are you redeeming the time? Say, God, this is me and you. Maybe I should just worship you. We're not called just to come and sing a few songs, 3-4 songs on Sunday, and then we've worshiped you. No. Sometimes we just to redeem the time and say, Lord, just me and you. And even though I sound not so good to others, that would be acceptable to you. God, I worship you. Turn on the volume. Worship him. Establish that pattern in your life. It's just you need. Sometimes in the shower. And your wife can listen to that and think, okay, well, I don't know what she would think, but anyway, it's between you and him. Sorry. Jesus understood this whole thing, and at one place, he said, when, listen to this. He didn't say if, he said when you pray. When you fast. Ouch. Not if you fast, when you fast. And then it goes a little bit further. When you give. Not if you give. Didn't say if you give. And if you feel like give. He said, when you give, do it this way and this way. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is, Jesus had certain patterns, certain habits that was established in his life. And those habits will determine where we're going. See, sometimes we have these bad habits and we can't get rid of it. And I often speak to people and I hear that we struggle with our personal time with the Lord, and I'm trying and I'm trying and I'm trying. And God says, stop trying, start training. Because if we just try to win the World Cup, let's talk a little bit of rugby here. We will try, but I don't know if we have to train. And Paul says to Timothy, train yourself up. Train yourself up. You can't just hope you will get to know the Bible. You got to train yourself. I know we don't like the word discipline. Everything in life, I don't want to say everything, but most of it is accomplished through discipline. Why don't we, or we become so spiritual, we think it will just be accomplished through one prayer. Brother, please pray for me. I want to know the word of God, that God will supernaturally come and give me a revelation, and then suddenly I will know the word from A to Z. No, it doesn't come like that, unfortunately. Sorry. God, I want a better prayer life, or I want to be, okay, let's pray for me. And then, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon me, press the button, 5 seconds, and after that, you will be a prayer warrior. No, you got to train yourself. And yes, God's going to give you grace to do that. But you need to be disciplined. You and me. And sometimes the best way to do that is to have somebody next to you, me. We know if I'm deciding tomorrow morning I have to shed 5 kilos of body weight, maybe you're okay to do that on your own. But the best normally works when I've got a friend that's got the same problem than me. And say, listen, we've got something in, we can identify with one another. We've got something in common. Whether it's here, there, wherever. I'm just using that as an example. Let's do this together. Let's pray together. I'm going to be at prayer. I'm going to be there. I'm going to call you if you're not there. Is it okay? Yes, because by that we're establishing a pattern. In Matthew 12, I think, Jesus was doing miracles there. He was actually delivering a man from a demon. And then once he delivered the man, he was mute, the man, and I think blind as well. The Pharisees came, they saw all of this happening, and then they said, but this that's happening here, this man, Jesus, they're referring to, he did it by the power of Beelzebub. Do I pronounce that right, Carol? Beelzebub. Beelzebub. Well, that name, Beelzebub, if you study that name, it means Lord of the Flies. Sure. That's a powerful thing to say, eh? Or very derogatory, not fearing God, saying, well, he did this by the power of the Lord of the Flies. Interesting is that if they, I study, they say, if you want to, we've got some problems with flies at our home as well, but if you want to completely annihilate them, remove them, you got to spray pesticides for 40 consecutive days on that swarm of flies where they breed to destroy that cycle, to destroy that completely. Isn't it interesting that Jesus went to the desert for 40 days? Isn't it interesting that Moses was for 40 years in Egypt, for 40 years in the desert, and then for 40 years went to deliver the people from? Isn't it interesting that Jonah gave the people of Nineveh 40 days to repent? Isn't it interesting that when Elijah came and he gave food to, or the angel came to Elijah and he gave him food, that for 40 days he were able to run or move forward with that piece of bread or that loaf of bread he ate? And we can carry on. There's so many more, the ark, and we can carry on 40 days. There's some significance here. Sometimes I'm trying to say to you, and they say, the studies say, that it takes about 21 days to establish a habit. Sometimes good intentions are not just good enough. You can't just walk out here this morning, man, I want to read my Bible, I want to establish this pattern. It takes time to establish that pattern. And you will know this morning as well, if you got bad habits, it takes time to break that. You've got to do something in the opposite and say, yes, man, I need this pattern in my life. I know if I want to get to know God, I want to move closer, I need to make sure I've got certain patterns, certain non-negotiables, I will call it. Certain places, certain times, Lord. This is my time, Lord. I have to establish this. So in order to establish that so that it will come automatically, you have to do that. You have to train yourself. You have to be disciplined. And sometimes the flesh is going to kick in. Oh, just tell, man, tell Joe. Don't be so hard on yourself. Come on, don't be so legalistic. No, it's not about being legalistic. It's about establishing patterns. Because if I live by that, I don't wake up in the mornings anymore. Sometimes I'm tired, but most of the times I just wake up and I'm, God, I thank you. It's time with you. I'm not saying I'm super spiritual. I'm just saying you have to establish certain things. Prayer to me on a Tuesday morning is not, oh, man. Yes, I'm tired sometimes. I can't deny that my body sometimes feels like that. But still, it's something I enjoy. But you've got to establish whatever God is laying. While you're sitting there, just close your eyes for a moment. I want you just to, maybe God has been talking to you for a while now about certain things that you have to establish, certain patterns that he wants to transform. And he's maybe saying to some of us, you have to start giving. To some of us, he's saying, your Bible, your devotional time is so sporadic. I want you to establish a pattern there, a pattern of faithfulness. Break the old, Lord. We thank you that you're doing something new. Amen. And then the second one, Mark 10 verse 45 says this. You can open your eyes. For not the Son of Man did not come to be served. Listen to this. For not the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now let me help you here. Jesus made this statement. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served. To be served. He came to serve. That's Jesus that said that, the creator of heaven. If Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve, how much more should we follow his example? Why are we creating churches which is comfortable for us to sit down and just relax? What are we doing? Why do we throw one another? Why do we have negative comments? Why do we say it's a hot place? All these kinds of things when we actually, the Bible says, stirring up one another to good works, stirring up one another to do those things. That's what the Bible says. He never said the Son of Man came to sit down and enjoy. Now he said, do something. I know it sounds like words. You can read your Bible. I see that too much. That the Bible said out of the reaction, out of that encounter, something would flow. James 2 verse 22, in actual verse says, yet your faith is made perfect by your works. I'm going to say that again. Your faith is made perfect by your words. Works. Not words, sorry. Some of us think words. But we can say and we can talk the talk. And God says, no. That's fine. I know all the talkers. I want to see if you actually live that way. I want to see if you can transform in such a way that you want to serve people. You see, we live in... I am so thankful to God that we are blessed with a church that, I want to say, almost said brown, green, black, blue. But they're not only that, different cultures, but also different age groups. We have young and... Yes, huh? This is a blessing, man. Really, I tell you what, go out there and look at so many churches. I'm not comparing this morning. I'm just thankful to God that people will come together and they feel comfortable. Normally, just the old would flock together, or the young, or the one color and the other color. And I'm not saying we are there perfectly, please. I think we can grow a lot still. I think God can do still a lot. But anyway, the beauty about this all is we all have our own struggles. And let's just categorize ourselves for a moment. See, when we're young and we're single, and the pastor says, please help us there at the back. Andreas is alone there. He's just the only one with Reino to help at the sound. Then suddenly we feel we're not qualified. I mean, I'm so young. I'm too young. Doesn't that sound like some of the excuses they use in the Bible? I'm too young. I don't know how. I don't know if I'm able. Sounds like a Gideon to me. Not a Gideon, sorry. Gideon of the Bible. Manfred. Not talking about the Gideons. He's part of the Gideons. He's serving them. Then we get married. And then Carol, I joked about this, but then we fall back in the Jewish law. Then we go back to the Old Testament scripture that says the Jewish people, they were not supposed to go to war. They should just enjoy one another. I said, God, okay, now I'm on holiday. I've asked you for this wife. I've prayed, God bless me, and God please provide, and God send my husband to me, and God is so gracious, and He blesses us, and say, brother, I bless you with this wife, this beautiful wife, and they say, well, God, thank you that you blessed me with this wife. I'll see you for after a year. Let me just chill and relax now. I want to enjoy her. I just don't get that one, but anyway. So then suddenly that thing that God has blesses me becomes the excuse that I can't serve God anymore because I have to attend to his or her needs. And then my children come after that, and that's where I am right now, and I see all of those excuses coming. I see that, and I can preach on that. I love it. I know I've said it many times, but then my children, I start living a child-centered life, not a Christ-centered life. Because when Yanni, he's got a poo-poo, I don't do anything at the church anymore. Sorry for that. Or when baby is too small, and then they grow up, and then he needs to be in bed by 8, so we can't do anything anymore. And then when they're 8, they grow older, then this is the excuse. And they become an excuse to serve actively, being involved. Man, you got to serve somewhere. You got to give out something. I mean, if you're sitting here this morning, chances are good that you have something because the Bible says so. Come on. You can't say to me you have got nothing. The Bible said you've got something to give. You just have to realize what it is. You've got something. Amen? I'm going to say that. You've got something to give. Sometimes we just have to learn to receive and to say, God, there's something inside of me. I'm sitting here with a purpose. I'm alive. That means I have to worship you. I have to give something. And as you give, there's something more that's coming. God says, well, you just gave. Let's pour in some more because you're just a channel. I can't claim anything that I've given to you that, wow, God, thank you, man. We just share in the joy of seeing people being transformed. And listen, old people, I have to get to you as well. Come on, I love you. And then we grow older. I love these old people. They are so special to me. And then we have the excuses. Each group, we have our excuses. Then sometimes we think, oh, man, I've done my part. I've been in church long enough. I've shared. I did all of that. It's not necessary anymore. We kind of retire. But I don't see a retirement age in the Bible. There's no retirement age that tells it that 60 years, stop helping there. Maybe your role would just change. Maybe you can't just run as fast anymore. You can't do that anymore. But you can still pour me a cup of coffee or the brother or sister coming in there, whatever it might be. All of us has got something to give. Moses. Hey, man, look at Moses. I tell you what, the retirement plan of God is amazing. 120 years, and the Bible says Moses climbed the mountain and he died. How did you like that for a retirement plan? God still wants a lot of mountains that you need to climb, Manfred. Huh? He's got mountains that he wants you to climb before you die. You move on. You don't die and stay. We move on just to the next level. Because, man, there's so much. I don't want to die full of myself and think, God, there was so much still of you inside of me that you've placed inside of me and I didn't give it out. And you waited for me just to give so that you can put in more. Come on. We need to be transformed if we're going to say we want to follow Jesus. There's somewhere in this church, seriously, where you can find a place where you can give. Amen. Are you so quiet this morning? I know I'm going a little bit deeper, but I love this. Because I love giving. I love serving people. And maybe so do you. And maybe you don't do this morning, but if you scratch long enough, you'll find eventually you'll get to that place. There's so much joy that's released in just seeing people being changed for giving. Because that's the way God wired us. This my wife, Yohanri's grandma, passed away about 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, while we were still in Rundu, and she was 94 years old. Now, up to her age, she was for 4 years bedridden, but almost 2 years, 90 years, when she was 90, and she could still move around, she was still driving, believe it or not. I wouldn't say it's so safe, but anyway, she would drive around, hear me this morning, and deliver food parcels to the old people and those in need. Old serving the old. It's interesting where the people sometimes when they die around, they say, well, no, he was still young. And you ask, how old are you? No, 80. And the other person, you see, it depends how you see yourself. But she knew she still got something to give. I still have to do that. And maybe there will be a day that Bible says, and actually I think in Proverbs, serve the Lord with everything until the day comes when somebody has to take you to where you need to go. We become like babies again. There's a joke Edith said the other day. We come into this world like babies, and then when we grow old, you have to ask your children to take you to the shop. You can't see, probably, all of that. I know we don't want to hear that, and we want to fight against that. But there will be a day when we can't be as effective anymore. Until that day, run, man, run. Run, Forrest, run. As far as you can for God, and do as much as you can for His name's sake. This past week, our daughter, Isabella, she had some diarrhea, sick. She had to stay at home for 3 days. And she's very social, loves her friends and all of that. So first day was okay. Second day was already a challenge, so we couldn't let her go. It just didn't work. And the third day was already a challenge because she wants to go to school with all her being. We tell her, no, you can't go. So day four, on Thursday morning, Yohanri gave us some drink in a little bottle, just about that much. She said, okay, you have to drink this before you go to school. Otherwise, you can't. This is medicine. You've got to drink it. And she was fighting. Oh, I don't want to drink that. And was crying as well. You can't go to school. You drink this or you go. No negotiation. And I tell you what, I was standing there and I thought, shall I just let her take her with me? I was preparing there and take my oldest with me. And I'm leaving out of the garage and I hear the cries and I think, God, I have to do this now. This is the right thing to do. Because I can't let her decide here. And I thought there for a moment, how easy it can be. Just drink that stuff, man. Come on, just one. And then just that little bit. And she's, no, I'm not going to drink that. I said, well, then I have to leave you. And I left there. The story didn't have a good ending. Although she later on decided the will broke. She said, well, I have to drink this now. And she drank that and we took it to school. But when you read this story in Mark 10, 45, when Jesus said, I did not come to be served. did not come to be served, but to serve. What happened before that? You have to read that in context when he made such a statement. James and John comes to Jesus and they says to Jesus, oh, Jesus, when you go back to heaven, can I sit your right hand? I just wanted my children's like that. Can I sit there? Can I sit in the front of the car? Today is my turn. We have that battle so often. Jesus, can I have that chair in church when you're going to be here? Imagine Jesus was here. I don't know how many of us would have sitting here. Okay? Actually, a good point there. I'm preaching good. I'm sounding like the Americans. We'll be close there. Jesus, I just want to be close to you. Can I just touch you? Jesus, wow, man, I'm healed. But anyway, now Jesus saying, James and John says to Jesus, Jesus, can I sit at your right? Can I sit at your left? Jesus says, yes, No, he didn't say yes. I'm testing you. Jesus didn't say yes. He said, listen, guys, you cannot drink the cup that I'm about to drink. He's referring to his death there. See, it's easy for you to ask to sit here. And see, easy, sometimes we want prominent places. God, I'll serve you, but give me the mic. But the fact of the matter is, your voice doesn't allow you. Maybe you should try something else. Because it's not about having the shine or where you are. It's about just being faithful to what God has given you. Whether you can sing, whether you can play an instrument, whether you can pour a cup of coffee. And I believe all of us can. Can I just see, by a wave of hands, can anybody say to me this morning, you can't pour a cup of coffee? Okay, so by that I just proved to you that there's a place for you. Vivian, even if you don't know, but I'm just joking. Serious. Jesus says to them, you cannot drink the cup that I can drink, or that I'm about to drink. And I believe in life, so often God has got certain cups that we have to drink before we advance. And we say, God, no. And I thought about my little girl. I think, man, just drink this stuff. And God probably sometimes think, it's not so bad, just drink this. No, God. Just put some more sugar in there, God. No. You need that, this medicine. You know, life is like that as well. I see that. They thought I'm going to. We all have these hurdles in life. I call it hurdles. We come to God, and I'm not going to jump over that. You can relax. People in the first service thought I'm going to do some athletics here, but we'll do that. I don't know. Walter said he will do that. Just demonstrate that to us. So we come to Christ. He said, Jesus, become my Savior. Jesus, I want you to save me. And the Lord reaches out and he says, your grace, my grace is upon you. And then he says something to us. After we cried out to him, he said, Jesus, save me. What's the first thing he asked us to do? Come on, you're going to say that. I'm not going to preach that this morning. What's the first step of obedience after Christ, after we come to Christ? Baptism. Somebody said baptism. And we just stay there. Oh, Lord, no, my parents told me you can't go there. That's wrong. So God says, fine, I love you. And I want to emphasize that God doesn't love you less, okay? He still loves you. You can't change that anyway. God loved you even while you were a sinner. And that's, for some of us, hard to think about it. He loved you so much that he wanted to pull you out of that mess. This week, I just read that, and I want to, maybe I'll do a sermon on that, but anyway, give it away to you. That Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lord wanted to get him out of there because he wanted to destroy. The Bible says the earth cried out. It became so bad that the earth cried out. And then Lot was at a place where he was double-minded. The angel comes to him and says, Lot, we got to leave here. There's trouble coming here. And Lot is like, man, I still like it here. Shall I go with you? The Bible says this, and I only saw it this week. Because of the compassion of the Lord, he reached out his hand and he pulled him out of it. And I thought, God, how often you've pulled me out of nonsense and places where I've been double-minded. And God's compassion is upon us. So sometimes almost channeling us in a way that we don't have another choice than to say, God, you are alive. I need to put out my hand and say, God, help me here. And God says, listen, you can stay there. I love you. My love is not changing. But the only fact of the matter is, if you don't go over that thing, you're going to stay in this. We've got this pen at the back there in all places where the little children play, and then they can grow and advance. When they advance, they go to the older class. And God says, it's fine. Paul writes later and says, though you ought to train others by this time, you still are children. See, that's the way it works. You can be stubborn. You can just say, well, I'm not going to do that. That's fine. And so we can carry on. And God says, listen, I want you to grow further. You jump over this hurdle and you think, well, I've just done this. And God says, there's another one. Now you've got to learn to serve. No, God, no, not my time. No, it's special. God, and we stay again. See, we are writing, in effect, our own story when we don't cooperate with God or cooperate with God. It's by his grace that we can do this. I'm not saying we claim that too. It's by his grace, because the Bible says in Philippians, For it is God who both willing to do for our own, for his own good pleasure. In other words, he gives you that pleasure to do that, that ability, but you need to be willing to do that. So if God says, you know, transform, let me transform your service, let me make you a servant, and we don't work with him, we just stay there. We just go around the mountain, we think, oh, these Israelites, how stupid can they be for 40 years? Don't blame them, we do the same thing every day. God says, man, just get out of that. It's so easy. God never fails you. Can I just say to you? God never fails you. He never fails you. You're just writing the test again. We just write it again. God said, oh, you didn't pass the test, it's fine, let's just write it again later. I love you. But you can't advance. We can't move forward if we want to be transformed into his image. If you are here this morning, and I've done that in the first sermon, so I want to do that again. If you are here this morning, how much time I've got left? Time is running out. And you are serving this morning, today. You've served today by either holding the camera there at the back there, sound, music. Some of the music guys is gone now. Can you just quickly stand where you are? Just quickly. If you serve the cup of coffee. Now the rest, all the coffee guys, they are at the back there. Now there were many more. Some of them are already gone. But what we did in the first service is just to commend them and say thank you. Because I tell you what, so often we come to church and we think, this is just supposed to happen. I mean, thank you, Lord, bless me. And we have a good experience, all of us. But it took somebody this morning to get here an hour and a half earlier than you and me to prepare things, to make things ready, so that when we walk in, things are ready for us. Ain't we supposed to have that attitude towards one another and say, well, thank you, brother, you blessed me. I want it to be my turn next time to bless you. Because you have to sit down and receive as well. Amen. Sit down. Thank you, guys. Last one. Let's carry on. I know you are hungry. You can see the pains. And it's not pains of... It's hungry pains. Hunger pains. Mark 1 verse 17. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Interesting how Jesus calls his disciples. Just follow me. Don't convince them. Don't have a chat with them. Just follow me. And he turns around and he says to them, I will make you fishers of men. We all had heard that before in church. What was Jesus saying to them? He was saying to them, listen, I know your interests are there right now. It's yourself and you're building your own kingdom. But I want to change your interests so that it will be towards my kingdom. Another interesting thing is when Jesus called them on that day, it was probably one of their most profitable days. They had so many fish they caught. You have to think the way they thought. How many is a lot of money here? And Jesus says, okay, leave that behind. I know you had a lot of profit you just made. Follow me. Oh, what a clash of kingdoms here. Interesting. Just think about that. Some of us will think, oh, well, God just blessed me with his business. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, interesting when Jesus called them. And they had to make the decision. But they had to change, allow him to change their interest from being self-centered, from the world, to be kingdom-centered. And God wants to transform our influence that we have this morning. See, Jesus knew he had to influence these people if he wants to establish a kingdom. He had to pick 12 men, although one fell away, and had to influence them, change them, so that their interest would change to the kingdom. Now, if you are spending time with people, and their interest, or it doesn't awaken and stir up an interest in the kingdom of God and the things of God, you're wasting your influence. I'm going to say that again. You're wasting your influence. Because if people do not become, I want to say, nosy or asking questions, searching, or start loving, I want to go even further. If you're spending time, and I see that, you're spending time with people and they love church and the bride of Christ less than I question whether you serve Christ. I question that. Because Christ says, I'm coming back for my church. How can you hate my bride, but you tell me you love me? You can't separate the two. This gives us a different perspective of how and what we say about one another in church. See, we need to use that influence so carefully so that whenever God places people around us, we influence them for the kingdom of God. Not them, nor they should influence us. Galatians 1 verse 16, I'll end up with a story. And then Paul said after he came to Christ, you can read that afterwards, that I did not confer with flesh and blood, but I went to Arabia. In other words, Paul was a Pharisee. When Paul met Jesus on the road of Damascus, he knew, I can't go back to those people right now. Because if I go back there right now, they will kill that precious seed that's inside of me. They probably sowed out. They will probably tell me, you missed it, you saw, you mad, you whatever. And he knew he had to withdraw himself to Arabia, where somebody would teach him, would train him up so that when he's strong enough, what did Paul do? He went back there. And he argued with him. And he had discussions with him. Sometimes in life, you have to protect that seed. You have to withdraw for a time. I'm not saying that break any contact. Please hear my heart this morning. But you've got to linger a little bit longer at the other end than in this place. And then you're going to go back when you're strong enough. When that seed has been established, when the root, when there's a root system, when there's something, when you are planted in the house of the Lord, as the Bible says, when you have people around you to protect you, then you go back there. And you use that influence mightily for his kingdom. I'll end with this story. There's a lady called, maybe you've heard about her, Harriet Tubman. She's a black lady that lived in America in 1849. She was a slave. Okay? But she, at that time, women didn't have any right to vote. She didn't have any front teeth. You probably wouldn't even recognize her if you see her on the street. You just think it's another person. But they were practicing the slavery down in the south of America, and she became aware that this is wrong. God, this is wrong. It's not supposed to be like this. We're not supposed to treat people like this. And they started standing up for something that's greater than herself. And then she started saving people out of slavery through the underground railway network, putting her life under risk. At one stage, they had, in 1849, listen to this, $12,000. That's a lot of money on her head. Even today, with our exchange rates, it's still a lot of money. But think about that. How long ago? $12,000 they had in her head, if they could find her. But she is willing to put their life on the risk, on the line, because she believed in something greater. And she saved, if I can put it that way, the most slaves of all, everybody. Just a normal woman. Nobody would see her. Nobody would recognize her. But she realized, God, there's something inside of me. It's causing me to stand up. And she listened to this, what she said. It says that when she crossed that line with the first slave, she said this, when I found I'd crossed that line, I looked at my hands to see if I was the same person. There was such a glory over everything. The sun came like gold through the trees and over the fields, and I felt like I was in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Somebody that just realized, God, there's something greater. And I tell you what, the Bible says this morning that the angels rejoice over one person that comes to Christ. Amen? He rejoices about one person, and there's no other or no greater joy to me, and maybe you can agree with me this morning, that gives me more satisfaction than to see somebody come to Christ. Say, man, I can see where he was, and I can see his life is not the same anymore. I can see, man, I saw his life. I was with him there in the dumps. And maybe God saved me along the way, and I've got this friend, and man, this thing happens. That child, that parent I'm praying for, wherever it might be, that joy of sharing in that. Let's close our eyes. Jesus, we thank you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you are at that place where you're not sure. We have made that first step of obedience and say, God, I am, Jesus, I'm inviting you this morning. I'm asking you to set things right. And nobody's looking around right now. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're not sure. God, am I at the right place? Is my relationship, am I ready to meet you? Am I ready
Can I confess this morning with my mouth that Jesus is my Savior? Or am I just serving something and I'm trying? Maybe you are here this morning and you want to make that commitment and say, God, this morning, your Spirit is ministering to me. I need to make that step. Nobody's looking around. Just where you are, just to give me indication, just raise your hand where you are and say, Jesus, that's me you're talking to. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. There's more. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you are tired of trying. God says, stop trying. Start training. If that's you, just to raise your hand again and just say, it's me. God is talking to me. Stop trying. I want you to quickly come to the front if you raised your hands this morning. It's all about just being honest with God. It's not about singling you out. It's just about acknowledging where we are. Say, God, I need you right now. Just where you are. If you've raised your hands, you're welcome. Please come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Quickly, let's just get to the front here. If you raised your hands this morning, I know it's not about we're standing here. It's about our honesty with God. And say, God, I need you. I need you, Jesus. I need your grace this morning. That's all we do. By that, we just cry out and say, God, help me. Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask some of our leaders, some of our people, just to help me pray here for these people? The rest of us, let's just stay in prayer. Maybe while you're sitting there, I'm going to ask you to pray for one another there as well. Let's be active here. The rest of you can start praying here in the front. But pray for one another. Ask that person next to you. Is there anything I can pray for you this morning? You want God to establish your character, Mike, or change my patterns? My mind, to renew my mind. Maybe he needs to change something. He needs to transform something. And I want you to stand in faith with me that God will, that we will do, or see a perfect work here. The work that he started, he will complete. That's what he promised us. But we need to acknowledge that we need that help. Maybe you need just to ask a brother or sister and say, God, or help me here. I want you to pray with me, to trust with me that that pattern will be established. Jesus, we bless you.